CliffCentral.com.
We have a control in studio. Welcome to Africa's 8th best podcast. It's me, Simi Arif, and today my guest is Eric Janssen. This is actually not even my podcast.
I was about to say the same thing.
Thank you.
When your guest hijacks your podcast. This is weird. Welcome, guys. Guest Comedy Podcast. It's 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. How are all 7 of you doing? This is amazing.
Not 7, because I'm not listening today.
You're the 8th listener. We have 7 now. Okay. We have 7.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's amazing because, like, Dave Levinson isn't. It's not amazing that he isn't here. I think it's very amazing
that Dave Levinson is not here.
But he's so cool, man.
I love Dave,
he gets distracted, like, very easily.
Dave is the type of guy that'll be like, the walls are black, and then he'll be like, and there's silver on it. Like, but Dave, we're discussing Fusemas 4.
We're talking about, come on, man, focus. There's a Casper van involved.
You see?
Yeah, so cool. Dave Levinson is out in Cape Town. I was going to call him, but I don't have airtime. And he left me in charge today. So today's going to be pretty rock and roll, because I barely listen when Dave talks. Because I just wait for my opportunity. So he never gives me a chance. I never get to talk on the show. This is amazing. I've said the most shit ever.
Dave used to be on East Coast Radio and they never allowed him to speak. So what he's doing is getting back now.
No, but that's the thing. Dave never spoke to us. So in today's show, we have one of our listeners, which is amazing. He listened to the podcast from the beginning. He himself has two podcasts.
One. Yeah, well, the other one is cricket, but it's a podcast still, cool. So I guess too.
So he has podcast himself, he knows what's going on, he knows what to do.
Yeah.
And Sami Arif, how are you today?
Fine, thanks, and you, Eric Janssen.
Cool,
guys, I just want to say, firstly,
cool.
Eric last night beat me at the Comedy Central Roast Off, the Roast Battle.
Yep.
He beat me. He beat me fair and square. We are going to speak about it, though.
Yeah.
Because I feel there's so many things to talk about.
Yeah.
I like how I hijack shows.
Coming
up on the show, also, we'll speak about... How is Simi so handsome?
Why is he so handsome? Who?
Did you see the controller? She popped out her cheeks. I don't know if they popped out her cheeks because she's flattered by my looks or she was shocked that I would say such an audacious thing.
Doesn't know how to blush.
You don't like the truth, girl. You don't like the truth.
Cool, man. So, Simi, for people that have not heard your podcast because they don't listen to this podcast, tell us a bit about your podcast. What happens?
My podcast is called Lesson on Somebody's.
Right.
It's basically an in-depth interview of people I think that should be known or do something that is different to what they're famous for.
Okay.
So, like... this background music is really, really, like, irritating. It's like, did Eric decide to use this? That's horrible. Jeez, no wonder you'll never make it on TV.
Welcome to the continuation of the roast. This is round one, part two. Hit me during the drinks break.
I couldn't get into radio, right?
Yeah.
I'd worked at different radio stations.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem was that they wouldn't put me on air. And I could understand why they wouldn't put me on air. I was like a 25-year-old comedian who's like just... You don't know where a comedian can go.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, radio is the most formatted thing ever.
Okay.
Radio, you have to do certain things. You have to back announce. You have to say that was. You have to say the time is.
Yep.
Coming up is that.
Mm.
And comedians are naturally not formatted people.
Yeah.
We're not normal
people. We're all over the show. Yeah, that's true.
So I can understand why they wouldn't put me on air. It's too much of a risk for them. Mm-hmm. But I always loved listening to podcasts. And I thought, man, you know what? If you're ever going to open up doors in the industry, you might as well start doing things yourself.
That's true.
So I started doing my podcast. And I wanted to interview guests that never get interviewed. Like, they never make it onto radio, television. And when they do, it's always about, like, it's like 5 minutes.
They get that end of the whole...
Yeah, and the radio DJ is like, so tell us, what can we expect from your comedy? You know, like, that's... And unfortunately, most of my guests are comedians.
Yeah.
But, like, there's comedians that do so many different things. Like, Sitsi Shioma.
Yeah.
He's nominated for South African of the Year.
Okay.
Because he developed a game. But you wouldn't know that.
Because he's not on radio.
Yeah,
he's
doing TV stuff now because he's been nominated as South African of the Year. So that's the only reason why he gets on TV.
Yeah.
You get people like Jennifer Sanasi, who's a blogger.
Yeah.
Like, she works at News 24. You'd never know these things. So there's, like, you find different sides to people. Jason Goliath is a very good motivator. Donovan Goliath is a creative.
Yep.
There's so many people. Calvin Goldstone, he's my last interview. Calvin used to work on ENCA as a sports guy.
I never knew that.
You see, so there's so many different things, and they never make it onto, like, mainstream radio, because all mainstream radio ones is normal stuff.
That's true. That is true. So, wait, like, in terms of podcasts, do you think that South Africans have...
We don't even have a culture yet. Every single time I'm surprised when I listen to Cliff Central and I hear, like, an advert playing. I'm just like, yo, how did these guys get adverts?
How do they get...
No, literally, amazing, how do they get, man. How do they get adverts? Yeah. Because if I have to look at it, if I had to look on just iTunes rankings,
yeah,
I don't see most of the Cliff Central podcasts there. I see them at the bottom, maybe. Mm. Tumi Marake has a podcast on V, and she's a lovely person.
But I felt like there's a butt coming up.
Yeah, but like, I'm higher than her, so where's... So if you're talking about how do people get sponsorship and adverts, that's the real thing. That's you have to make money somehow, I guess.
You have to, yeah.
But so, podcasts, we don't have a culture. We don't. If we did have a culture, a lot more people would be listening to podcasts than people going... You know why? Data.
Yeah.
Data's a simple
about
thing.
About to say the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just data. It's just like, it's tougher to download 52 megabytes because do you know how much WhatsApp that is?
That's all the WhatsApp, man. That's WhatsApp for the year.
Exactly.
If you don't send pictures and videos.
Yeah.
Or part of a WhatsApp group that has voice notes.
But like, if you have access to Wi-Fi and stuff like that, and the world is no longer niche. That's the thing.
Yeah.
The world is no longer niche. So if you like, I'm a gamer that only likes one specific game, and I want to listen to people that play that specific game, then you'll most likely be a podcast listener because you'll find a podcast that's just like, yeah, that's dope.
That's dope, yeah. But now, with podcasts, do you feel that they cover a lot more than a radio show does? Because if you listen to radio, you'll know that 90% of radio is just coming up next.
Yeah.
This is a song by Selena Gomez.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I was thinking in the car as well because I was just like, this is how the thought started. I was like, how come there are no, like, really talented Indian people on commercial radio stations, like music radio stations? It's like, are we saying that Indian people, like, don't do radio? Or that we're only good for, like, the news and the sports and, like, a DJ mix every once in a while, you know? Like, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Because, like, and I'm not counting East Coast radio because the demographic is different. And they have a really shit DJ there already. So,
you know? You're perfect for this podcast. Saying it like it is.
Yeah, so I'm just like, what, the Indian people? And then I started going, like, my mind started thinking, I'm just like, you know, when I used to sit in radio meetings and stuff and then training, they used to say, guys, radio is not dying. Radio is not dying. Radio is dying.
Radio is dying.
At such a slow rate. It's just being tortured to death.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. But I feel it's more of a content thing because as soon as they have somebody that has a lot of...
I feel it's a content, trust, and a favorites type of thing. Here's the thing, right? If my former bosses trusted me enough, they're like, yo, you know what? We'll give you graveyard 12 to 3.
Do what you
and
like.
And you do what you like. You just sit over there. Is this black coffee?
Yeah.
Put this. That's the worst guy.
Don't hate on black coffee, man.
I hate on black coffee. I'm not like all you
what
guys.
What is your hating on black coffee for?
Everything, bro. I just don't like his music.
Why not?
I just don't like it. You're allowed to not like a person's music. They can still be successful. Doesn't mean you hate their success.
I feel like all the back tracks
the controller just mouthed me, what is wrong with me? I'll tell you. I don't like his music. Does he play house? Is house his thing? I fucking hate house music.
I thought as much. Okay, cool.
I fucking hate house music.
Carry on with what you're saying, Carl. It's the content.
So it's the favorites thing. So like you get to a point where like Darren plays pranks. Yeah. Wackhead Simpson plays pranks every morning. That's what he's known for. But even like I work there, I thought the pranks were cool. But I'm like, that's not the main reason I listen to radio. But some people do. And other people's content is really, really shit.
So people get excited for that prank call in the morning because they feel like
and
that's what
radio
is about.
Radio DJs are also lazy. So they won't go do content because they want to grab a hand mic and go out and interview people and get like a funny vox pop or something like that.
Yeah.
Their content is telling you, yo, guys, we've got a theme show today. Let's find out the best Shazam chart in Sharpeville, 21st of March. Like, fuck off, bro. Come on. All you have to you're choosing songs from Sharpeville via Shazam. Go fuck yourself, really.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately go fuck yourself. And then the fucking funniest thing is that they have a whole conversation about trying to get into radio. Let's open up the industry. They've got Cizbit Lomo, Bonang, and Googs M, the guys that take 99% of your fucking gigs of trying to get in. The reason why nobody can knock on the fucking door is because they're fucking blocking it. The fucking flanks.
Assholes. Yo, man. How do you feel about that, Rand? Because I feel like you went off.
I feel better.
And into a microphone, you must feel amazing.
Yeah, I feel better. And no offense to those people,
but
everybody has to make their guap. Everybody has to make their guap.
That's true. You know, I think I'm going to give Dave a call with the last 10 Rand ATM I have. If it works, I'll be happy.
I'll be very happy.
I'll not be happy either.
Oh, it's not working?
No, left. Because he said it's such a shame that I got...
Albino.
Wow. There we go. That's Uncle Dave. Hi, Dave. How's it going?
I've got a feeling you guys have run out of stuff to do, and you're phoning me.
not a little bit.
No,
even.
The thing is, we phoned you because
we're just trying to get you.
Remember, you said to me,
"We're trying to get you on the line."
When you were like, "Yo, I need somebody on the show," then I said, "I'm gonna get Simi," and you're like, "Shit, I wanted to be there when Simi was there." I just figured I might as well call you because you are here.
Okay, so I'm with Simi now, right now.
Yeah,
Simi's here. He's sitting here. Say hi, Simi.
Hi, Dave.
Hello, Simi. How are you? We ran out of guests. Have you noticed?
Well, no, I don't think you ever had guests in the first place. Do you have guests? To have guests, you must have listeners first.
Yeah.
Then people get excited.
Yeah.
So I'm your biggest guest and your biggest listener. So
he's the show.
Biggest guest, biggest listener.
Yeah.
How was the roast battle?
Eric beat me last night.
It was fun.
Eric Janssen beat you?
Yeah, he beat me by half a point.
You realize that that's because of all the training that we've done in his podcast.
Yeah, no, he was really, really good last night.
Been roasted.
He was really, really good. He only went hack twice, and I feel like that wasn't because of him. I felt like that's because of an outside pressure that caused him to be. I even scolded him on stage.
He
saying
told
that
him, he's like, you're better
said,
than these Muslim jokes.
I said, you're
jokes.
Better than these Muslim jokes.
Shit.
You're better than this, man.
Yeah.
I love you.
And like he was much more likable than me. That's one of the main reasons why Eric won. I was not likable at all.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, shit, that's funny.
Used to say, no matter, if you walk into a room of 50 people,
yeah,
there's going to be 3 people that instantly
don't like you, yeah.
But with you, it's probably
all 50.
47.
Yeah. No, it's true. But that's the thing I loved about the roast, because the roast actually shows you your biggest insecurities, your biggest flaws.
Which
so, like, now,
yours?
Well, like, I definitely...
You're in love with your sister.
No, Dave. Jesus.
Dave,
wow,
takes
Dave.
It to another level.
You know, we just said that about you, like, 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I said, Dave's the type of guy, you're speaking to him about fees must fall, and then you'll look at the ceiling and go, hey, that's a black ceiling. And you'd be like, no, Dave, we're talking about something else right now.
Worst ADD ever.
Tell me your flaws.
No, I said, like, even in my normal stand-up, if I was much more likable, I would murder a lot more. So that's something that I definitely need to work on.
And
I feel like a roast. Thank you. And I feel like a roast shows you that. Because I even had the best gag of the night. I mean, John Flissmas, God bless his soul. And Ryan.
You'll burst into flames. Don't say things like
that. And Ryan Harder said it was the best gag of the night. And I would have won if I was like
Ryan Harder's laugh.
You know, and Poppy in Shinguana was there.
Yeah,
and
she was there too.
was looking lovely and laughing as well.
Yeah,
so you know, it was very close. But Eric beat me fair and square.
Thanks.
So
man.
Like, what do you rate the evening? Because you know you got to leave the evening and then rate it out of 10.
I definitely give it. Okay, no, I definitely give it a 7 or an 8. There's things that I definitely will change if I was going to do it again.
opponent, firstly.
So then Eric went through. Who won the thing?
Donovan Goliath won it. But Eric had Donovan Goliath for the first 3 rounds, and then he kind of self-destructed. That's what happens when you do Muslim jokes. Allah comes to find a way to get back at you.
Ah, damn it.
Donovan Goliath isn't Muslim.
No, he's not.
But
thing is, he's saying it came back to me because of the 2 hack jokes.
Yeah.
The first one, Allah was like, I'll let it slide. And then the second one,
he's
like, nope.
He had Donovan on the ropes before he did the first gag. And I think where Eric got a bit of that adrenaline rush was when he did a perfect line. He did a perfect line saying that Donovan Goliath looks like chamomile lotion, right? And everybody laughed. And then John said, is that the end of your roast? And Eric was like, no, it's not the end of my roast. And then he proceeded to do a roast and
that
it would just die.
Died so hard.
And then that's when Donovan came with haymakers, called him homo naledi, did other things
said
to him.
Said, look, I am the face of the era 404 message.
Yeah.
He said, I'm the default
face
of FIFA. You know? Yeah. It's just like, you see
even our controller
laughing.
Why
don't
you tell him that he's the poster boy for why pedophiles shouldn't have children?
You see, now that's nice and mean, but at that moment, I don't think Eric was likable.
Yeah, I wasn't likable at that point.
Because those are mine. Do you know how many great disses I had for Eric? Yo, my gosh, Dave Levinson, they were amazing.
Nah, he had
But you realize that Eric can't diss his boss because Eric's got to operate the red light.
Yeah,
that's the problem. My job was on the line.
That's what he said as
my
well.
Job was on
and
the
then
line.
Nobody knew that there was another comedy club in the country. So they were just like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
Even Eric's brother was there. Eric's brother laughed so hard at Eric. I felt there was a family feud boiling.
Nah.
Was Martin even knocked out in the first round?
Yes, he was.
The thing is, when we looked at the roast battle, when we saw the competitors, we were like, okay, this is either going to be a story of an underdog or It's going to be really obvious.
It was really a really story of an underdog.
That somebody who knows how to make fun of people is going to win. So yeah. We're like, okay, it's either going to be Martin Evans or me. That's what people said.
Yeah.
Then the first round happened, Loiso Madinga versus Rob Van Vieren, and Rob Van Vieren won. We all thought Loiso was going to take it.
Yeah.
Then it was me against Sumi. They were like, hey, we don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah,
then I won that round. Then Don went up against Evans, and we were like,
Evans is going to destroy
this guy.
And then, it did not happen. You
know what? Martin Evans has been living in Scotland, walking in the field, and sending like those Facebook Live things about how wonderful life is. And you can't channel your evil if you're living life and loving it.
No, he was also his... It came down to a likability thing. Donovan was way more likable than Martin. Even Rob Van Vieren was way more likable than Loiso Madinga.
Yeah.
And I think that's... And for roasting specifically, I think specifically in this country, because I feel like my gags would have killed at any other roast battle.
It would have. Because if you look at the other roasts, I watched a couple of the guys from New York, from Chicago.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the other place was? Oh, no, they did one in Canada, somewhere in Canada. And they went in really hard.
Yeah, really, really hard.
And that side, when the crowd goes, ooh, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to make the crowd laugh.
Laugh instead of make them go, ooh. Yeah.
So that's
I think I gave advice to Marcel. I said, try and get the crowd to like you.
Yes, you see? You see?
Yeah.
But out of the whole evening, I definitely rated 8 out of 10. If they've called me to do another one, I would definitely do another one.
Do you think it's an entertaining option? Do you think it's actually entertaining for a crowd?
Yeah. I do think it's an entertaining option for a crowd. I think they have to be trained to it, though, just like how crowds are trained into comedy.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like the first thing I'll do is I'll remove the DJs, because I don't think the DJs know shit about fucking comedy, unless it's a comedian DJ.
That's the Comedy Central fear factor. They think that if it's not cool, hey, look here, we got a DJ. It's like a sideshow.
Yeah, but they got the DJ can't even fucking seen. Twins on Deck is in the fucking corner like they've done something wrong.
Hidden.
And the thing that's so like,
DJs, can we get paid a bit more?
Yeah, probably. But the thing that also kills me is that they don't understand comedy. So I was getting a lot of oohs, and oohs like laughs build.
Oohs, yeah, oohs
they build.
Important, yeah.
So it goes ooh.
Because they don't get it. They play like that. Wah, wah,
yes, exactly. Yeah. So
what if you're being sarcastic and it's just a clever link?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then also if you diss the DJs, then they feel like, oh, now it's time for them to show that they have all this power with the sound effects. Fuck both of you. You look the fucking same and you both press one button. What, you hold each other's hands?
If you broke alternating arms, you could still be a fully operating DJ.
So go fuck yourself. Dave, that's actually the new title of your podcast when I'm on. It's called Go Fuck Yourself Gas Comedy Podcast. Is where I rant for an hour.
What's your one called?
Lesson on Somebody's, that I've been trying to get you on as a guest, but now I have to have Eric.
Now, do you have sportsmen and scientists and fucking everything?
Yeah, I try to have a variety of people, because everybody comes from different parts of the world and have different stories.
And don't have the advantage of being advertised and interviewed on radio.
Yeah, and also sometimes it's just like you want to hear something else about them. Like I interviewed Anele. Everybody knows Anele. She's on 947. She's beautiful. She's great on air. But you know what the thing is? Yeah. No one knew about Anele's brother that she just found out about, who's 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. I broke that exclusive on my podcast.
So
New Magazine did not call.
You exposed it on the radio, on your podcast.
Yeah, she said it. She said it. And then I was like, wow, New Magazine's going to carry with this story.
Oh, man.
Because I feel like that's what makes, anyway, comedians get... Because for me, right now, I feel like comedy is just tunnel vision. Everybody sounds the same or speaks the same. So we don't get to speak to other people that don't do comedy.
Yeah.
That's it.
And then I also feel like...
You should have been at the comedy... What's this place called? The Master Comedy? Cape Town Comedy Club?
Yeah, yeah. the place that pays you after 3 months.
On Tuesday night, we had a celebration 3 years, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The biggest mistake was that they invited people from different sectors of the club. So the caterers were there, people from accounting, some guys from the bank.
Yeah.
They're unrelated people.
Yeah.
They've never been to the comedy club.
Oh, shit. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. It was like watching... There were four open micers on stage. I mean, they were pros, but...
Do you agree that club is a top 10 club in the world?
I haven't been to the other nine.
No, but if we're saying that, do you think for it to be the best in the world, it would have to be the best in South Africa?
Do you think it's one of the best in South Africa?
Do you?
It has to be.
Are you saying it has to be?
No, your opinion.
Yes,
not because
of opinion.
What's
I'm not.
Said.
Well, think about it. What constitutes a great club? Good lineup.
Yes.
Sight lines, sound.
Yes.
A really reasonable price at the door. Yeah. Good food. All those things maybe count in, and then it should be. It should be in. What more do you want from a comedy club?
I don't know.
See me. Getting paid on the night.
Yeah, that would be fucking dope.
Getting paid ASAP. You know,
that's why Comic Choice doesn't work, because comedians would vote themselves out of their own comedy club and stand outside.
Yeah, but I don't do Comic Choice anymore, so it doesn't faze me, that thing.
Nobody does, don't worry. Eric still goes in his red jacket.
He has to go.
Yeah, I go.
Eric got two jackets, the red one and you got a blue one.
Yeah, the blue one.
I know, because I bought both of them.
Next year I'll have a purple one. Okay, so me, I want a purple one next year. Better organized.
But Dave, when do you get back? Because I feel like this podcast is missing a lot of things when you're not here.
Yeah, Eric, Dave is really? The talk.
Eric doesn't
I told you.
This is what Eric does. He looks at his phone, right? And then he tries to ask questions. Like, you know when a child is WhatsApping their parents are asking questions.
The thing is, right? You do the backtrack. So yes. Dave does the backtrack. So I play the first backtrack. Simi talks. He goes, wait, what bullshit is this playing in the background?
Yeah, his
so I'm
backtrack like,
okay,
was so
I'm
loud.
I'm going to change the song. Then I played the Black Coffee one that you always play. Then he's like, is this Black Coffee? Switch this shit off. This is rubbish. So then I was looking for a third song. Then I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
That
I'm just going to phone Dave.
I'm going to phone. His first show ever in Durban when he sang Hey There Delilah.
Hey There Navashni. And I'm going to do it again in December.
Can you do it on the radio?
Yeah, I'll do it for you right now.
Do it now. Let's hear it.
Hey there, Navashni. What's it like in Asia City? I am 40 km away, but girl, tonight you look so pretty. Yes, you do. Santan can't shine as bright as you.
Oh, that's funny.
I swear it's true. Hey there, Navashni. I got so much left to say. Oh, I can't remember the words.
you're not committed enough, Sumi.
But I know that one part was Ayo, it's what you do to me.
I heard stories about the song. I've never heard it until now.
Yeah, because I dropped it. You know why? You know why I dropped it? Because I move on with my fucking life.
That's amazing.
I'm not like every other fucking comedian holding onto the material like it's some piece of fucking gold. It's not.
Oh, I love it. Mm. I love hearing the pearls of wisdom from
Sumi. Sumi's not.
I mean, which uncle?
The one that stole the money.
Still richer than you, Dave.
Hey, I invoice Cape Town Comedy Club 3 months in advance.
So that means you get paid next year, June. That's great.
That's hilarious.
That's great. You know, I saw a guy, I'm not going to mention his name because maybe like all you guys are his friends. He used to run a comedy club in Cape Town, right? And he used to ask you to invoice for $500. Then it'll take 3 months. Then I was like, but you used 2,500 Rand for Facebook promotion, you motherfucker. Then I saw him come out of Goliath Comedy Club, right? One of the nights. And then I was literally like, hey, isn't it nice to be paid on the night? Hey, how does that feel? Yo, the guy caught an Uber so quickly. You know when you phone the Uber and you're like, I'll walk to you. I know you're driving and it says 3 minutes away, but let's cut that time
down. Let's meet halfway. Make it a minute and a half from here, man. Yo, people want their money.
You know? Oh, you want names?
Yeah.
It's Mumsy.
That's fun.
Me, you don't have to worry about me. I'm Mumsy willing to talk about anybody. They all know how I feel about them.
That's hilarious.
Hey, say that again, Dave.
Mumsy, Gainbo, and Sam Hendricks.
Oh, yeah. They sound like a blazing trio. But I'm going to Glenn's pool party tomorrow. Glenbo. If nobody knows Glenbo, whoever's listening.
Please tell us about Glenbo.
Glenn used to host gigs, and his best friend is Martin Evans, and his second best friend is Dave Levinson.
Right.
And Glenn has this thing where, how do I say it?
Glenn will do comedy anyway.
Glenn will do comedy anyway. Yeah, literally. I did a comedy show in a bakery, you fuck.
Yeah, and it was fucking blazing. Shut up, Dave.
And it was an amazing gig. You know, Dave, you know what your problem is? You're ungrateful. You're ungrateful. You don't like people trying to help you out.
Tell
Dave.
Him, DJ Khaled. You're not loyal.
The help I need is not going to come from a comedian. It's going to come from a professional person.
100%. How's your beer business going?
I now have my beer.
Yeah.
It's in another realm.
What do you mean?
Another realm?
There's a good chance that I might not have to do comedy ever again. which is...
Oh, thank God. Fucking thank God. Oh, man, we have never heard better news in our life.
When you said another realm, I was...
I'm not doing comedy doesn't mean I won't give up the podcast, because there's no comedy there.
Yeah, right? It's just...
No, but you must do... you know why you have to keep on doing podcasts? Because one day it'll eventually work and it'll click and it'll be really, really good.
Money.
I feel like the biggest crit I can give to your guys' podcast is that it is all over the place.
Yeah, there's no structure.
No, it's terrible. Horrible.
No, it's not horrible. It's fun to listen to. But I'm just like, if you're going to make it all over the place, that must be the format.
Today? What's the theme for today? What are we talking about?
The theme for today.
A Muslim walks into a podcast.
Yes. Wow.
There we go. Thank you. No. You've just given us the
Is that what do you guys do themes and stuff like that?
That's the nice. We don't do themes. We just ask questions. And then the main question, the one that gets like the longest amount of content, we go, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's what the show is about.
Well, Dave, I've already sworn like... a dozen people, at least, from Black Coffee all the way through to Wackhead's pranks. So
through to his uncle.
Well, we expected that from you.
Thank you, Mamsy. What's that?
No one. There's no one else. It's just me and Eric.
Well, you know Tabiso. You know Tabiso is supposed to come through, but he has to catch like 7 taxis and an Uber to get here. So I don't think he's coming through. Because last night as well, he messaged me after the show and he's like, "So what are we doing? Where are we chilling? Where are we drinking?" Then there I was just like, hey, Tabiso, my man, no.
And Dave, to be honest, it didn't even start off as Gas Comedy podcast.
I actually
introduced it as my own podcast. I was the first voice.
He hijacked
I was like, welcome to Lesser Known Somebody's, Africa's 8th Best Podcast with Simi Arif.
While I was looking for a backtrack. He cheated. That's what he did.
8th Best Podcast.
We
voted that shit.
It's actually Africa's 3rd Best if you go into iTunes. So iTunes voted it?
Yeah.
I mean,
I
think...
we're on iTunes, Eric.
Yeah, you guys are on iTunes.
But
let's not talk about numbers.
Or something.
Let's
like
not talk about numbers.
In the Mandela position.
Let's
we'll
not
get
talk
there
about
one
numbers.
Day. We'll get there one day.
You know what you need to do, Dave?
I think today's a turning point. You know that?
Yeah, well, when I'm on things, like, you know, Comedy Central said they sold a lot of tickets because of my name.
Yeah, that's true.
Not being on the original poster.
that's hilarious. The last minute alteration.
You know
who the
most interesting guest was on our podcast?
Who?
Robbie Collins.
Robbie Collins is great.
Yeah.
He's got such great concepts in terms of comedy. And like he says it without like trying to hurt anyone. He's just got great comedy ideas.
Yes, I think he's a great storytelling personality. No, I do. But like not a lot of people like that's a normal style. That's people love storytellers. But some people
even then his methods of comedy, like he explained the joke is a joke, but then his background knowledge of stuff and why things work and why they don't work, it's incredible.
Yes.
He chatted at Rock in the Davies, and it was like talking to a much older man, I don't know if you know what I mean.
Yes. He's got the experience. He's got the experience now.
Yeah.
No, he's good. How's things going down in Cape Town?
Well,
that didn't sound right.
I did a thing for Reach for a Dream Foundation.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a free charity gig for 500 people?
Yes, all the time.
Free charity gig.
You will die. You will die.
Free charity gig. That's why, because you said free charity gig.
Yeah.
You're speaking like me now, Dave.
Yeah. No, but it was weird. The guy said to me, Dave, you went 25 minutes over. No, I only did 25 minutes. He goes, yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, fuck. That's
funny.
Jeez,
that hurts, man.
Like, now do we have to have Dave on the whole time because your airtime's running out?
Nah, I don't mind. But like, if Dave, are you busy, Dave? That's the question. Are you busy?
I'm staying in Chris Kunot's kid's room playing with his Lego. I'm in my underpants. I could get arrested if I was doing it.
Wow. I feel like we are like aiding in your pervertedness.
What are you making though? Like, what's the Lego thing that you're making?
I don't know. None of his Lego matches. He's mixed, and I'm Lank OCD. He's mixed his Ninja Go with his fucking town Lego, and I'm like splitting up the pieces.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So that kid's gonna come back home and be like, "Yo, I made this cool thing. What the fuck?
Who built it properly?
Why is it not mixed and matched?"
That's funny.
You mustn't have if you've got your Ninja Go Lego, you mustn't mix it with your Creator Lego and your town Lego.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just saying.
With
much knowledge.
Yes.
Dave, you're a wise man.
Eric, you're on your own. I'm going to go have breakfast.
Do your thing. I was
love
about to
you,
say,
Dave.
Yeah, thank you. That was fun. Thank you. I didn't even say bye. Because he never says bye. He phones me on like a Thursday evening and he's like, "So, are you coming in tomorrow?"
But Dave, that's
like, Dave, yeah, I have to come in because like I'm kind of on the podcast with you. It's like, oh, okay. Okay. And then he puts the phone down. I'm like,
David, the type of guy. I love that
guy.
Say
thank you. Say hi. Say bye.
Yeah.
You know, common decency. Be nice about it. be nice about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, in the life of your life, what do you do?
I do this nothing
weekend,
now, bro.
This weekend. This I weekend. This weekend. Now. What do you have? What do you have planned for this weekend specifically? Let's go from today. From today, what do you have planned?
I'm going to go record a podcast later on with Joey Rustin.
Right.
I feel like he has a cool story. Also, Joey is a lovely, emotional human. So
I remember speaking to you about this before. You said Joey wasn't up to doing the podcast.
Yeah, and then last night he said, yo, when do you want to record this podcast? And I was like, yo, we can do it tomorrow.
That's blazing.
He's like, dope.
That's blazing. Let's do it.
A lot of guys say no to the podcast.
Because?
Sometimes they don't feel it matches their career, or sometimes they don't feel like they need to do it. That's actually the shittest thing about doing the podcast, is that when you ask people, they say no. And it's kind of weird to ego.
Yeah.
It's not like comedy. Comedy, in a sense, is like, you have to hear me speak.
Mm.
You know? Whereas here, people are like, I just don't want to do it. Then you're like, wow, okay.
I thought this would be something that you were good at.
Yeah, but it's fine. Like, those are the things I'm learning. But, like,
yeah.
I've got a new rule. Like, I'll ask a person twice. And if they either say no or they don't get back to me, or they say yes and they don't get back to me, then I fucking leave them.
Okay.
I don't really want them on the podcast then.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Who was the most interesting person you interviewed on your podcast?
Who do you know? All of. Not all of. Maybe, but, like, there's some where I've hit flops with, because it's still growing. Mm. Like, even the podcast now is still growing.
Yeah.
And I've added new features to it now, because I feel like it needs to take that's the next step.
Yeah.
But there's about a handful, maybe 10 out of the 31. Because that's the thing, what makes the podcast really good is that it's consistent. It's the only thing that's really consistent in my life. It's like, because comedy's not even consistent. You know, like, I do comedy, then I won't do it.
And
I won't do comedy.
Yeah, like, you haven't been doing club gigs much.
Yeah.
But you said that's because?
I'm on sabbatical. I'm living life. I'm learning things. I'm like playing Pokemon. I'm doing lots of other things.
That's amazing.
You know, you learn more about yourself. It's like you
not
learn
doing comedy.
Yeah, and you learn, like, I was never this vocal last year about things.
The things you do. Yeah. Yeah.
Or, like, so, like, now is just like, you're speaking about Robbie, and Robbie comes with great comedic angles because he's really comfortable with himself.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get really comfortable with myself. Then Saturday I'm going to a party.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Watch soccer, you know, and then Sunday chill at home or something like that.
Dope.
Yeah, I don't have, you know, people always think that maybe comedians have, like, exciting lives.
Exciting lives and shit. Yeah, no. We just ask the guys.
There's some guys that really have, like, they party and they do things. Like, I'm really not that guy. It's like, I don't find any enjoyment. Like, I told you last night, I'm like, I don't want people to be offended if I leave.
If you leave early.
Because I want to go play Red Dead Redemption, which is a game.
Yeah.
And, like, after this, I'm going to go stop off at 947 quick to say hi.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go home and play a game and then go to mosque. So it's like we all have different things that we like to do. I also like reading, and I wish I had more time to read, because I feel reading not only improves your vocabulary, but it also improves your thought process.
That's true. What do you like reading in terms of,
bro,
like, genre?
Okay, cool. So you have to, my grandfather, right?
Right.
Was a bookbinder. He was one of six in the Southern Hemisphere, and, like, that's what he did. Hand bookbinder, not like a machine.
Yeah.
So he had a bookstore.
Okay.
It was called Ike's Books.
Okay.
And now it's such a big, like, bookstore in Durban. It's massive.
Yeah.
And we would always have books at home because he's my grandfather and my mother from my mother's side.
Yeah.
And so we would read anything and everything. So, like, now there's some things I won't read. Like, not that I don't like Islam. I'm a Muslim.
Yeah. Right.
Like, picking up an Islam book, a book related to Islam. I'm just like,
this is too much.
I feel like that's for when I'm in my 40s, 50s, or 60s, you know? Like, now I want to read about this conspiracy theory involving this the Dalai Lama's brother. So that's what I want to read about. I like conspiracy stuff, but I can read anything. I'll give everything a chance, except Shantaram. Shantaram was fucking shit. Oh, fuck. Made it three pages into that fucking book.
Like, no,
and
thank
I was
you.
Like, fuck no, off. And everybody that reads Shantaram, they tell you, like, oh my gosh, it captures the spirit of India. Go fuck yourself.
Uh-uh.
Go fuck yourself.
I'd rather watch Dry Paint, Dry Father.
But you know what? One of my favorite books was Life of Pi.
Okay.
Because the movie was also good.
Yeah.
I feel like when you get the movie good and the book is great, then it's like, it's sharp.
Then you're amazing.
People are so dumb. Even, like, comedians are dumb. It's like they literally thought that the tiger in Life of Pi was a real tiger. And it's not a real tiger.
It's metaphorical.
Yeah, it's metaphorical. Hold on, our controller, Palesa. Do you think the tiger in Life of Pi was real? She doesn't even know.
She doesn't even know. Do you know Life of Pi?
She doesn't even know Life of Pi. Yo.
Life of Pi was dope, man.
It was a dope movie. It was a dope book. And then I heard someone go on stage once. I can't even remember who it was. It's like, why didn't the tiger say goodbye? It's like they just did like the whole adventure together on a boat. And I was like, oh, fuck. You literally think the tiger is fucking real? You stupid. Like, did you not even pay attention to the part of the movie when he's sitting in the hospital bed and the insurance guys are like, so you really want us to believe this? And he's like, well, if I told you another story, would you believe that? You know, it's like you didn't listen to that part. Are you stupid?
I just hit you with a long bullshit story that you said.
Are you stupid?
While I was in a hospital bed.
That's how
dumb you are.
I got so upset with them.
Oh, okay. Really cool. Movies to book. What do you think of that in general? Like turning the book into the movie? Do you think that it's a wise idea to squeeze, let's call it a 500-page novel into a 2.5-hour movie? Do you think it's a...
Okay. Here's my thing on it. Books are cool.
Right.
Everybody should read books.
Okay.
And when the movie comes out, watch the movie. But like, this is whole... People always want to be like, yo, let's compare the movie and the book. You know, let's find which one is better.
Yeah.
What if you're a guy who just likes watching movies? Like, I watch 2 movies a week, right?
Right.
I sneak into Steel Clinical because I'm not paying 75 rand.
Back entrance. Okay. I feel you. I did that once. And then nearly got caught. No, yeah, like I was...
My man, I get caught every time. Now I just greet the guys like, hey, what's up?
That's funny.
All you need to do is give them a cigarette.
I don't carry those on me.
You know?
I stopped.
Bro, it got to a point where I forgot my 3D glasses and I walked out the entrance to go buy just 12 rand 3D glasses and then walk back
into the movie.
And when the guy's like, where's your ticket? I'm like, oh, I left it in the seat. Oh, don't worry.
That's blazing.
So then I watch movies, right? And like, I enjoy movies for movies because
they're movies.
That's the thing. So like, that's, you know, comic book guys. Yeah. Guys who love comic books. They get fucking upset.
Yeah, they get upset.
They're like, how shit was fucking Deadpool? How shit was fucking Suicide Squad?
Backstory.
You know? And then you're like, shut the fuck up. Do you know how cool Will Smith was in fucking Suicide Squad? He was like In Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith. And he was fucking I Am Legend, Will Smith. Those are like two of the best Will Smiths. So I'm just like, get the fuck on out of here. It was a dope movie. And people are like, you don't understand. So I feel like some people come with that attitude when they think about the book.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it wasn't as good as the book. Of course it won't be as good as the book because it's a moving picture.
Yeah.
If a picture is 1,000 words, a moving picture must be 500 because you don't have enough time to read it.
You're compensating for the fact that the book was long.
Yeah, like, do you want to have like a 5-hour movie so you could feel okay? No one's going to do that. It doesn't make any financial sense.
It doesn't.
So it's like no one can sit down. I mean, for 5 hours. Like I watched the other day a 3-hour, 29-minute movie called Once Upon a Time in America with Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Right? 2 hours, 15 minutes in, the screen went blank and went intermission and then started again. Because that's what they used to do back in the day when they had like long fucking movies. I thought the movie was too long. It was beautiful. But a fucking long movie.
Too long.
So I'm just like, don't compare it. I mean, I think there's... You know what? Comparison is the thief of joy. That's what it is. Even in comedy, when people compare you to another comedian, they take away from your beauty.
Yeah.
So if I had to compare Eric to Tabiso, that takes away from Eric's coolness.
Yeah.
Or Eric's thing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yo, hey, this man is...
I also state these days that comedians are modern day philosophers, like straight up modern day philosophers.
No, that's true. That's true.
So, like, because I'll say something now and then people will be like, that's so weird. But, like, 10 years from now, people will be like, yeah. And I'm sure that's how philosophers felt. Because it must have been like, guys, you know the sky isn't really blue. It's the reflection. And people are like, shut the fuck up. You sound so fucking stupid. Go the fuck back to your mountain.
Yeah.
Then when they found out, they go, hey, yeah.
Where was that guy?
That guy wasn't lying.
Good guy. Yeah, but that's also, like you said now, I read a similar quote that says people used to listen to politicians and laugh at comedians.
Yeah.
Now they laugh at politicians and listen to comedians.
Yeah, maybe they're also bad comedians.
No.
Maybe there's no punchline.
If they're just listening to you, you should really put in a joke or two.
It's
difficult.
But like, now I feel like I've got this big theater show in December, right? I really want to make it like a big show.
How many one-man shows do you have? Sorry.
I've done two.
Okay.
I did one in Joburg.
Yeah.
And the following year, I did one in Durban. And I wish I just did more. I wish I only did one-man shows. Next year, I think I'll do it. But next year, I want to travel a lot.
What does it take to do a one-man show? Like, what are the... Not requirements, but like, what do you, where do you have to be in your
confidence? I don't think it's anything else. I don't think it's any, I don't think it's about ability or level and stuff like that.
And
I think it's confidence. I think because you always start out small. You're never going to start out doing. I think everybody thinks when you do a one man show, you're doing it to 1,800 people. But if you start out small, like a 250 seater theater, and then that theater grows, and you keep on going, you keep on doing it.
Yeah.
If you did it, let's say, for 4 or 5 years, you would expect about 1,000 people to come watch you.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it is. And guys,
and then length of your set when you're doing one man, does it vary, or are you?
Some guys do it's my one man, so I'm gonna do like 2 hours. Like, oh shit, bro.
2 hours is a long time.
I do like 50 to 60 minutes. I try to keep it an hour.
Yeah.
Because it's an hour. That's it. What more do you want from me?
But it's funny.
It was funny for an hour.
You are happy.
Yeah.
Go so home.
I thought it was going to be longer. I was like, no. You had a nice night at the theater. Go. Because that's another thing I don't understand. We love keeping enjoyment. Like, enjoyment must be long.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, guys. Yeah. So, I hate it when movies are like just 90 minutes. No. It's got to be 2.5 hours.
Ah, man. That's like, that's way too long.
You don't have to. Enjoyment can be like, enjoyment is an instantaneous thing.
So like you're saying, this enjoyment thing. Could you relate that to what we did last night? Do you think that the roast battle is too long?
Like, in terms of, I think it's long for other things, though. I think it's because they have an act that performs at 8:30. It takes it to 9. By the time the TV and the crew set up, it's already 9:20. You start the show. You know, it's already late. 9:20 is a long fucking time to start a gig.
Yeah.
But that's just because they don't know another way to formulate it. It's like, they know that Joe Parker at his club has 3 halves, so that's what they try to do.
So they still try and split it into the 3.
Yeah. So, but you don't have to do it. I mean, it's just
not
like
necessary, yeah.
Because like the opening act is like, oh, he warms up the room. It's like you're doing a roast battle.
Shouldn't be.
There's no warming.
It's not necessary
up. Yeah.
Warming up. Yeah.
Warming up the room for what? They know it's a comedy show, really.
But that's why I said they're here for the laughter. Like the roast battles in South Africa are meant for people to laugh.
Yeah.
At
in fact, what I actually think that spot that goes before all the roasts is actually a hindrance to it.
Yeah.
Because now the audience is expecting to laugh. If you rather had a person that came out and said, "Hey guys, this is what a roast battle is."
And explained.
Yes, because they do that as the rules, but they don't explain it to the audience. They don't teach the audience. They don't go, "Hey guys, okay, cool. These guys are going to be mean. These guys are going to be funny. These guys will say silly things." But inherently, it's a roast.
Go with it.
Go with it.
And see what happens.
So then you won't get, I feel like you wouldn't get, ooh. You'd get like, did you hear how deep that roast was?
That's golden, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And I feel like we don't think enough. Comedians don't think enough.
Like, we don't.
We there's a lot more followers than thinkers. Yeah. And so then people just like, let's do this thing.
What he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's been doing it for longer.
Yeah,
he has more money.
I mean, even the format of this one is incorrect. There's 3 rounds, and then there's 3 people, and then they have to do a diss to John Flissmans to choose 2.
Yeah.
And the 2 are the finalists. Why not just have 4 fucking battles? 4 battles will give you 2. And then 2 will give you 1.
Yeah.
And then your night is over. There's no need for like this extra judging.
Unnecessary extra things, yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, make it like a fucking competition.
Because that's actually perfect. That is perfect. Because then you are writing for everybody. See, so if you do make it,
they've taken the idea from Jeffrey Ross's roast battle, right?
Yes.
He did it this year in Montreal. He did it last year in Montreal, right? He started with comedian versus comedian.
Yeah.
And how it started out was 2 comedians had beef with each other, and this is how they decided to sort it out.
Yeah.
5 disses each. We, like, South Africa has this fucking tendency to, like, just copy and paste, but, like, even a bad copy and paste. Like, you're not even copying properly.
Yeah.
Like, how difficult could it be to add an extra fucking round? You know, so you won't have the complication of having 3 semi-finalists.
Yeah.
Like, come on, just fucking think for a second.
Yeah, it becomes weird.
You know, just fucking think. That's all you have to fucking do. And then you'd be like, "Hey guys, we've got this new concept." It's not your fucking concept.
Stole it from the Americans.
You know, it's not your fucking concept. It's you. We're literally.
You are plagiarizing.
Yeah, we're diluting something that was somebody else's thing.
Yeah.
And then so we also have this thing where we're just like, we've got to make it exactly like it, but not exactly like it.
It doesn't work, man.
So I'm just like, come on, guys.
It doesn't work. It's like, for example, take Ridiculousness. Do you watch Ridiculousness Africa?
I've watched it for about 15 seconds, and I was like, go fuck yourself.
The thing is, I watched it I watched the whole episode because I was forced to watch it. And I was like, okay, cool. The thing is, like you're saying, they dilute it, but they don't do it like we want it the same, but not exactly the same. So if you watch Ridiculousness, you know Rob Dyrdek does this thing. Yeah. He says things at the end of the video or in the start of the video, or he pauses the video and says something.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch Ridiculousness Africa, Thomas Gumede speaks throughout the whole video.
Of course.
Then you like, but I was trying to watch the video and you were talking. Now I don't know who to focus on. Now it's weird. And then the guests are also just sitting there like, what do we do?
You see.
We don't know what's going on.
Yet. You see, this is weird. It's fucking stupid. People are just fucking stupid these days.
How do you go about this? Like, how do you go about changing this?
Oh, you don't. I just call people fucking stupid.
No, I mean, like, if you had the resources, the money, and the know-how.
Oh, well, okay, for example, I'll tell you. So last night after the roast, right, I thoroughly fucking enjoyed it. I had such a good time. The adrenaline rush was amazing. Mm. I'm talking about it from a person that didn't win.
Yeah.
But, like, I enjoyed it so... I was like, yes, this is such a cool thing. I want to definitely do it again.
Yeah.
I went straight to Jason. I said, hey, man, can we do a thing at Goliath's? Maybe once a month. Maybe once every 2 months.
Yeah.
Verbal boxing. And he's like, dope. Let's pitch it to me again after when we see each other, like, at the club and it's quieter. But you have to host it. I was like, I would fucking love to.
There you go.
So, you see, but you have to take things into your own hands. You have to... That's the only way you change things. That's the only way you say, and you have to start making like decisions, like proper decisions. If you don't like something and you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Don't do it, yeah.
So don't be a follower. Everybody will go fucking gig Monday all the way through to Saturday during the same fucking 7-minute set and tell you about this thing called, stage grind. I have to grind on the stage and stage time, stage grind.
Stage time is cool, but it burns you out.
It's just like fucking
lose.
Oh, did you decide that because everybody was doing it? Or did you decide that because you took a second and thought to yourself? So I'm not on that tip at the moment. I'm not like stage grind, stage time, got to do my stage
stuff. You're cool with being off stage. I'm cool with being off stage and
living my life and checking an email and fucking playing Pokemon and watching a movie and hanging out with my dad.
Yeah.
So, guys, just fucking think. It's so fucking simple. I hate that I had to swear a lot to end that. But I'm just like, just think. Just like, man, there's so many enjoyable things in the world. You know, like cricket is coming. Cricket season is upon us.
Now cricket season. I'm actually playing a match tomorrow.
And I can't wait because I love cricket. People also don't understand that your dreams and your hobbies are so multifaceted.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have to only like comedy if you're a comedian. That's the thing you do to earn money.
Yeah.
But there's so many things you can like. So many things you can like. I like girls. I want to speak to hundreds and thousands of different types of girls. You know?
I think there's only one type of girl, though. Like,
what?
Female, because they all...
No, but I mean...
Oh, yeah, no, I feel like... I know what you mean, man. I'm joking. No, I feel you. I feel you. But that's the thing. Guys don't understand that in order to grow, like you spoke about this in the week as well.
Yeah.
In order to grow, you need to be off stage, living your life.
Yeah.
Because if you're not living your life, you have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, because we all start sounding the same. Everybody starts sounding the same. And they don't realize it. And you know the thing is, when you start sounding the same, you actually see the guy's talents. Because you see, like, that guy is so bad at doing a Kumbula Kaya joke compared to the guy who did that Kumbula Kaya joke. And what did I say about comparison? Thief of joy.
Now, now you're losing it because you're going, this guy's not doing the joke properly. Exactly. I've got a better joke than that.
Thief of fucking joy.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was just go there and be yourself. Because when I find myself, Eric, I promise you I'm going to be one of the funniest people in the country. I feel it.
Yeah.
So as soon as, and it's the little things. That's why I enjoyed the roast. Because the roast showed me that I needed to be more likable.
Yeah.
So that's given me the answer.
Yeah.
And now I need to go say how. I must ask the question. How? Why, what, where, and then it all come together.
Yeah.
The industry is still so small.
We are growing, Chief.
People will still come to your shows. You can die still on stage and still...
Yeah, it's still acceptable. I mean, it's not like there's a burden or a paparazzi following you going, yo, he died so hard at this gig. Is he going to carry on doing comedy?
No one fucking does it.
No, it's not necessary, man.
Yeah.
Your growth is at your own pace. You need
exactly.
You need to know. You need to know what you want to do. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You know your thing.
Yeah. But that's why I also like you. That's why I've always taken a keen interest on, like, how you do stuff. Like, last night, I scolded Eric on stage.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah. I was just like, you can't do... Why? You're so much better than that.
Yeah.
Because I know he's so much. I know he's so much better because he's come to ask me questions about the topic itself.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll be like, "What about hack?" And then I'll be like, "No, just fucking. You don't do fucking hack.
Hack is unnecessary.
You know, like I've given you books to say, read this fucking shit.
Don't do hack.
And come back and to me and see changed. What you say afterwards.
It changed. Yeah, it changed.
So it's like I always have a keen interest in people that have an interest in the same thing that I do.
Yeah.
But I also want comedians to start learning stuff about other comedians other than comedy. Like, I know a lot about you.
Yeah.
I know where you live.
Yeah.
I know the car you drive. Yeah. I know that your car got into an accident. I know that you got a girlfriend. Yeah. I know your mother, your father, your brother. I know so many things about you that aren't comedy related. Now think how many comedians you speak to and you actually don't know shit about them other than the fact that you just do comedy.
You do comedy and you see each other at gigs.
There we go.
Sure.
And that for me is the shittest part of our industry, is that I don't know these people. They're the only thing I have in common with them.
It's comedy.
It's comedy. And I don't like that. Because what if one of us stopped doing comedy? Then I don't like you as a person.
Yeah. Now it's just...
Because I know fuck all about you. Like, we've hung out. We've gone to cricket.
We have.
We've done so many things, you and I.
I've rescued you when you
My car got stuck. Eric rescued me.
Yeah.
I mean, so you see...
Yeah.
There's so much more to do in this world than just fucking
comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been an amazing podcast.
Has it been?
The last half an hour has just been very deep.
Yeah, bro.
I feel like you
Palesa, did it. Palesa, what did you think? Just okay, Palesa has given Palesa's us a thumbs up, two good. Thumbs up.
Two thumbs up is better than
That's
no
good.
Thumbs up.
That's great.
No, I mean it, man. Like, the last half an hour has just been insightful. Since we put the phone down on Dave.
Ah, hey, bro. Dave was holding us back.
You've just been going in.
Dave was holding us back, I promise you.
Yeah, I'm taking this cop. This podcast is going with me for the weekend. That's this good. Is my motivation.
Thanks, Eric.
Love my life. Don't be shy.
That was Africa's 8th Best Podcast. If
this was the guest comedy podcast with Eric Jansen. And we're leaving you with a clip. Bernie Mac, this is easily one of the best clips I've seen this week.
You motherfuckers. I'm going to tell you something straight off the motherfucking press. I ain't coming for no foolishness. In New York, goddammit, y'all motherfucking women look good. Y'all like a bacon and egg sandwich look good. But I love sex. I love it. Can't do shit no more. And I'm blessed. I'm big boned. I'm heavy structured. I'm hung low. If I pull my shit out, this whole room get dark. Kick it! You don't understand. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. I love sex, man. I love it by the pound. I be glad when they put that shit in cans. Can you imagine sex in cans? Motherfuckers be shoplifting and shit. Folks be playing ball, man. Tell me what you get ready to do, man. I'm tired. I'm giving me a six-pack and put something going in. Kick it! You don't understand. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. Women just do anything till you talk to any kind of way you want to talk to somebody. It don't make no more fucking sense. I'm in a bar minding my business, cooling out, just being cool, like I am, chilling. Woman gonna come to me, then she just asked me the goddamn thing she want to do. She said, Mac, I said, yeah, that's my name. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. She says, does pussy taste like pumpkin pie? Made me mad. I said, don't ask me no damn question like that. I ain't never had no pumpkin pie. You don't understand. Yo, shit, tired of this shit. I ain't scared of you motherfuckers. When you make love to a black woman, I'm gonna tell you how you do it. You got to be good. I'm not talking about myself. Because you know a fuck ain't number 50 pumps. Count it if you ain't got nothing to do. It ain't number 5 minutes, but the foreplay make it seem longer. But you get a woman, black woman, man, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't care how meek that woman is, how soft spoken she is. If you're giving her the dick, whatever wrong with you, she gonna let you know. You can have a patch on your eye, your leg could be broke. If you get up there, she'll be like, woo! Shit! You patch-eyed motherfucker. You broke-leg son of a bitch. You know you in this motherfucker. Kick it!
CliffCentral.com.